Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, crazy martinis for you, as usual. And Jim, for multiple reasons, we have not spent a lot of time, or any time, really, ever since this story broke on the George Zimmerman-Trayvon Martin situation. But there's a little bit of a political twist to it today that we're going to throw into the Good Martini, and it actually presents Chuck Todd in the Good Martini. You've appeared on the Daily Rundown a number of times, probably not in the last few weeks, though, because as it turns out, Chuck Todd hasn't spent a lot of time on the Daily Rundown in the last few weeks, because MSNBC, like most of the other cable networks, going wall to wall with this, and the Daily Beast put together a montage of Chuck Todd's transitions to and from the coverage of the trial. And several of these makes it pretty clear how he feels about MSNBC's choice of what they're covering. Listen to this.
Promise we're keeping an eye on the Zimmerman courtroom. This is the Daily Rundown. I'm Chuck Todd. Yes, those are more live pictures of that courtroom in Sanford, Florida. Meanwhile, let's turn to some other news that we know a lot of folks are trying to follow. I know I am. Yes, it's a busy day in Washington, but right now we're going to take you to the live pictures of the courtroom in Sanford before the trial starts. We may even try to sneak in what's happening and what matters here in Washington. We, of course, did not have time to air it during the program because of our coverage of the Zimmerman trial. NBC.com. That's it for what was an abbreviated edition of the Daily Rundown.
So, Jim, there you go. Obviously, hosts don't necessarily make the decisions on what gets covered during their time slot. Clearly, that wasn't the case in the Daily Rundown. I think a lot of people who love politics and think there are more important things than wall-to-wall coverage of the Zimmerman trial are very sympathetic towards that, not only about MSNBC, but every other channel out there.
This is kind of awesome for a few reasons. One, Chuck, I feel you. I relate to the feeling. You know, I mean, I think everybody who does not think of the Zimmerman trial as being the preeminent news story, and there are other things going on, the immigration fight, Syria, Turkey, Egypt's revolution. You know, I mean, there's just one thing after Obamacare implementation. There's one thing after another that while we understand there should be some trial coverage, there's one, all three networks are often going with wall-to-wall coverage. So it's not like you can like change a channel to another news network. All three networks are pretty much convinced that this is the biggest story. This is what's going to get them the biggest ratings. That's what their folks want. And so they've had extensive coverage. What's more, just to give you a sense, I mean, I generally have finished my morning ritual of dropping off the boys. And I tune in to Sirius to listen to the news networks around 8:55 or so. So if I'm lucky, I can get 5 minutes of Morning Joe that doesn't talk about the Zimmerman trial. And then every morning for the past 2 weeks, it's been, all right, let's take you down to Sanford, Florida to look at that courtroom and the live update. But, you know, and there's not even anything much going on except the trial begins sometime shortly after 9 a.m. Maybe if Chuck Todd's really lucky, they get to stick in like one little bit acknowledgement that there's news going on beyond this trial. And it's very frustrating. So I kind of credit Chuck Todd for not quite biting the hand that feeds him, but for kind of letting us know that he's not quite on board with this all Zimmerman all the time coverage. And, you know, I think showing a little bit of courage of letting his disagreement show and not trying to go along with the supposition that this trial is the single most important news story going on until it ends.
Yeah, I think he did it subtly but very clearly, so the message got through. And especially when you see it in montage form on a day-to-day basis, it might be a little even more subtle. But well done, Chuck Todd. Well done, Daily Beast, in putting that together. On to martini number two now. Jim, and one of the things that you and I as conservatives were looking forward to in the Virginia race this year was not only Ken Cuccinelli possibly being the next governor of Virginia, but having a pretty good jumping off point from a very popular outgoing governor in Bob McDonnell, whose numbers until recently have been very good. And I don't still think they're not that bad, but he's pretty much been swamped now, McDonnell has, by this story of this donor, Johnny Williams Sr., who paid for the catering at his daughter's wedding. And now there's more evidence that there's been more questionable donations. McDonnell's apparently now paid a bunch of that back, but the story's out there. And Cuccinelli's been asked about it in the Morning Jolt today. You talk about how you were in an event with Cuccinelli yesterday, and that was the question all the media cared about. Cuccinelli's trying to distance himself. So, Jim, in a best-case scenario now, it doesn't hurt him. But in the worst-case scenario, McDonnell doesn't really help him anymore.
This is a story that's been driven heavily by the Washington Post. You know, when I talk to other conservatives, other folks on the right, there's this instinctive reaction of, we want to protect our guy, Bob McDonnell, who had very high hopes when he was elected to the governorship back in 2009. And I'd say up until this transportation tax hike enacted earlier this year, he had been a largely successful governor. And now, you know, conservatives were objecting to that one. But there's just been some really bad judgment on McDonnell's part, and that he's not answering a lot of questions about these things, about this, you know, accepting these gifts. It's now up to the neighborhood of upward of $200,000 in cash handouts, extravagant gifts, including a Rolex watch, loans, not just to McDonnell, but to his wife, to his kids, and it just stinks to high heaven. And this is so contrary to everything that was known about Bob McDonnell before he took office, Greg, that I've reached the point where, like, if somebody said, NASA intervened and they figured out that aliens took over his brain, I'd say, oh, okay, well, that explains it then. That makes sense, you know, more than the idea that just kind of out of nowhere, Bob McDonnell became buddies with this businessman by the name of Johnny Williams Sr., who runs a nutritional supplement manufacturer, and who basically all through 2010, 2011, and 2012 just keeps giving big, expensive gifts to the McDonnell family. In addition to that, the governor's mansion in Richmond was used to host an event for this supplemental company. You're looking at that and you're saying, how could this possibly be going on? I don't know whether it's reassuring or disturbing that Tucker Martin, the chief spokesman communications director for the governor, heard about this, and according to emails that were uncovered by a FOIA request, Tucker Martin was like, what are we doing here? What's going on? Why are we holding a corporate event in the governor's mansion? So people around McDonnell understood that bizarre, bad things were happening, but clearly didn't have any opportunity to prevent that or stop it or were overruled somewhere along the line. So the Washington Post editors today are declaring a widening scandal in Richmond. And this is not a case of them making a mountain out of a molehill or going crazy like Macaca or any of their pet. I mean, this is legitimate. We don't give the governor of Virginia a mansion so that he can help out his donors by hosting fancy events for him. You know, you're not supposed to be taking oodles of money and your family taking oodles of money from a guy who's got business before the state. So just a very disturbing end of the McDonnell governorship. The FBI is investigating. A grand jury has been impaneled. We'll see if anything happens. Democrats are saying he should resign, and I don't know if that's necessarily needed at this time, but the Post is basically saying, you know, McDonnell, it's time to stop stonewalling and answer all the questions about this. So far, it's been quiet, and it's very, very frustrating to see what was once a governorship with great potential just crash on the rocks like this. There's also a lot of talk about McDonnell potentially running for the Senate someday, perhaps challenging Mark Warner next year, and it's just impossible to imagine right now, because he just comes across as this, you know, slimy guy. Nobody would have expected comparisons to Bob Torricelli when he took office back in January 2010.
No, certainly not. And of course, the governor of Virginia can't run for re-election. So the money, you would think, unless he just really likes Bob McDonnell, had to be towards any sort of legislation. Do we have any idea what that was or whether this money got him anything policy-wise?
No, and one of the things that is being emphasized, to the extent there's been a defense coming out of the governor's office, it's been that it hasn't necessarily broken any laws. I'm not sure if any law covers gifts to lawmakers' families. You know, that basically maybe this guy has figured out a loophole here. Nonetheless, it's rather unnerving. But at some point, if you're Bob McDonnell, doesn't it bother you that a guy with business before the state wants, in a fight over a tax assessment at one point? And yesterday, Cuccinelli's office was emphasizing that, look, they argued that tax assessment was too high and incorrect, and our office said, no, you're not right. So they're emphasizing that, you know, Cuccinelli didn't give him anything. But it just emits an odor and comes across as kind of craven and just the antithesis of class that McDonnell had a nice aura around him when he was, you know, entering into the office.
Well, I know a lot of conservatives would use some of those same unpleasant adjectives towards Terry McAuliffe, so that might be Ken Cuccinelli's best.
Yeah, I mean, the irony, of course, is usually this would be an opportunity for the opposition party, wouldn't it, Greg? Except that, you know, Terry McAuliffe is pretty much the living embodiment of donor servicing and, you know, intertwining big money and politicians.
Oh, man. All right, on to the crazy martini now, if that wasn't crazy enough. And as most people know, it's been really, really warm out west. Some record-breaking temperatures in different parts of the desert southwest. Of course, the most tragic part of that was the wildfires that were triggered and killed the 19 hotshot firefighters in Arizona when the winds turned suddenly. But Death Valley, California, of course, is one of the hottest places in the country when something like this happens. And so there was this YouTube video that someone made putting an egg in a skillet and frying it just based on the heat. And here's a little bit of that video.
And look at our egg. Check it out. So this proves you can fry an egg in the desert sun. It just has to be covered. You have to prevent the evaporation.
Now, earlier on in the video, this lady says, make sure when you do this, if you do it at Death Valley, make sure you bring a skillet because it's just a mess if you don't. Well, people saw the video but didn't bring the skillet, so now there are just slimy eggs flowing all over the place in the Death Valley National Park. And so the National Park Service now, the same people who will be running the National Park on the Moon in a couple of years, for the folks who were with us in yesterday's Three Martini Lunch, they're now pleading with people not to bring raw eggs to try and fry them on the pavement at Death Valley National Park. So well done, America. Well done.
Who are these people who are like, I'm going to bring an egg and I'm going to fry it at Death Valley, but I'm not going to bring a frying pan. That would be, those are heavy. Oh, the rigmarole of bringing a plate or a dish or something. You know, like, first of all, that's a waste of a good egg. You know, high in protein and all that stuff. Secondly, do you figure there are critters or coyotes or birds or, so, or bugs that are going to come along and eat your egg? You know, if you're going to fry an egg, why would you not want a container? So if you fear that perhaps some of our fellow citizens are deteriorating in their good judgment, this would kind of confirm that, Greg, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. So the good news is, Jim, with this new national park on the moon, frying eggs on the surface shouldn't be a problem.
Having said that, Greg, I do kind of worry, you know, when people crack an egg on the moon just to watch it freeze, I hope they remember a plate or a frying pan or a dish or something in that circumstance.
Yes. When you pack your space flight for the Moon National Park, make sure you bring the frying pan or something with you so we don't want egg debris all over the surface of the moon. Jim, we got 2 good days out of that story. Have a good one.
Indeed.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Let's go for 3 tomorrow.
Exactly. Talk to you then.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.